Father, we want to say thank you for Bradley, that even today that is that he would step into all that you have for him, that as he would step into your promise, Father, I ask that you would lead him and that you'd guide him, that you'd fill his heart, Lord, that every word that he would speak this morning would be a word that would come from you.
Yes,
that those words that he would speak, Lord, that those words, Father, would just take root deep within our hearts. And Father, I thank you that as Brady would minister your word today, that he would minister it in the peace and the strength that can only come from you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are his strength. And Father, that even from today, that you'd open up and that you'd increase in every area of his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Morning again, everybody. So I spent a lot of time on my knees this week because I did not want to speak about what I have to speak about, because I wanted God to speak through me. I wanted Jesus to speak through me. So I wanted this message to be something that, a message of what God wants, not of what I want. So I hope you guys pay attention to the message that comes across and just understand that it's a message that Jesus brings across to you, not me. So the title of the message is Patterned After Christ. If you guys could turn to Colossians 1, and we're going to be reading 15 to 23. While you guys are turning there, do you guys know what a pattern is? I'm sure most of you know what a pattern is. A pattern is when we make an item, and we make a pattern to be able to replicate that item perfectly. Okay, same as making a mold. You make a mold around something so that when you put another object or another, say, resin, if you're making something out of resin or plastic into that mold, it comes out exactly the same as the original item. So, patterned after Christ. Colossians 1, 15 to 23. He is the exact, sorry, I'm reading from the Amplified. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is the controlling cohesive force of the universe. He is also the head, the life source, and the leader. Just go back to that, the life source. Just keep that in mind. Of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and preeminent in everything, for it pleased the Father for all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes, to dwell permanently in him, the Son, and through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were at one time estranged and alienated and hostile-minded toward him, participating in evil things, yet Christ has now reconciled you to God in his physical body through death, in order to present you before the Father holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And he will do this if you continue in the faith while grounded and steadfast and not shifting away from the confident hope that is a result of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, was made a minister. So I just want to go back and read 15 again. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. Now, when we go through this, Paul teaches us Christ paid for our sins. We also see that we have been reconciled to God through Christ, and Christ gives us the pattern and the power to grow spiritually. So there we have a pattern. We have something to follow. We have something to work through. Christ is the exact likeness of God. And when we start to really learn what he is like, we start to see what we need to become. So that pattern, that walk, what we need to follow, teaches us to see what we need to become. Now, how often do we not see that? We see other things quite easily, but we don't see that. He is Lord over all creation, and we need to crown him as Lord over our lives. You know, that statement stands to be something reckoned with. Crown him Lord over our lives. Nothing else, only him. Christ is the head of the body, his church, and we need to nurture our vital connection to him. We are to be patterned after Christ. We are to be a reflection of Christ. So, is he our life source? Is he the pattern that we're following, or the pattern that we are trying to become? It's something that we need to sit and think about. It's something that we need to ponder on. It's something that when you're sitting in your quiet time that you need to ask him, am I, Lord, following that pattern that you have put before me? Am I following that pattern that I can reflect you completely? So, Jesus Christ is not only equal to God. He is God as the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. He not only reflects God, but he reveals God to us. So the question I need to ask you now is, what are we reflecting? Who is our exact representation? Are we patterned after Christ? So again, who is our exact representation? I mean, if I had to say that again, Jesus Christ is not only equal to God, he is God as the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. He not only reflects God, but he reveals God to us. So if we are patterning after Christ, are we reflecting Christ to others? Are we standing here today saying that, yes, Lord, I'm reflecting you to others? Yes, Lord, people can see you through me. Or can they see the things that we do at home? Or can they see the things that we put our time into? Or can they see the relationships that we put into other people, put into man rather than Christ in us? Everything in our lives will find meaning when we properly relate to Christ. So, everything, not one thing, not two things, everything in our lives finds meaning when we relate to Christ. When we take that time to build that relationship with Christ, when we take that time to pattern after Christ, do we take that time? He leads and we need to follow. Christ needs to order our lives in every aspect. Christ needs to order our families. Christ needs to order our finances. Christ needs to order our careers. He needs to order our pleasures. He needs to order our friendships. He needs to order our passions. He needs to order everything. Christ needs to be our passion. Regardless of what we do, he needs to be center. He needs to be everything. And in everything we do, he needs to be the center of that. Whether we get on a bicycle and we go for a ride, who's center of that activity? Are we making it about us or are we making it about Christ? Whether we go for a meal and we're sitting with friends, do we take Christ out of that picture or do we keep him centered there? Do we keep that meal holy because that's the pattern we're supposed to be following? The greatest need is to get back to centrality of Christ. Are we making Christ center of our lives? I think we all fall short of that. Do we let our minds be led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Christ? Satan has a subtle way of throwing things there. That little thought, that little scratch, oh no, but, you know, Pete said something about me, and Satan, take your thoughts and leave. Yet, we sometimes tend to ponder on those things instead of saying, Satan, take your thoughts and leave. Because who is center? Christ is center. And when we can focus on that, we are able to go, take your thoughts and leave me now. If we can turn to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So I'm just going to read this again. Do we let our minds be led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Christ? So I'm going to be reading from the Amplified again. But I am afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So I just want to read this part again. Simplicity. Sometimes we make things so complicated. And it states here, it's simplicity to a sincere and devotion to Christ. Yet Satan comes and drags us away with our thoughts, our emotions. Because why? We let those thoughts become emotions. We let those thoughts become something that they shouldn't be. We let the thoughts become a mountain in our life. And it states here that he leads us away through that. So, have we lost our pure devotion to Christ? Think of the word pure. So, there's no spot, there's no blemish, it's pure. Are we letting those thoughts and those things interrupt our pure devotion to Christ? Are we letting activities, classes, or programs become all we have to offer others? Because what are we offering others? A program, a class? You know, come ride a bicycle. Let's go have a coffee. Let's go play cricket. I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but is that all you've got to offer? Or in that, is it Christ that attracts you, those people to you, to that activity or that program? You know what? When Christ is centered, people can see it. When Christ is centered in your life, that image reflects Christ. As Christ reflected the image of God and revealed God to us, we need to reflect the image of Christ and reveal Christ to others. Are we doing that? Are we able to say that, yes, when people look at me, they can see Christ, because you know what? I've given up everything and I've let Christ take control of my life. Are we able to say that, Christ, you are in control of every aspect of my life? Lord, I give it all to you. So, we need to let the reflection and the representation of Christ become so real in our lives that we reveal Jesus Christ to others. We need to focus on Christ completely. So if you guys can go back to Colossians again, it's Colossians 2, 6 to 15. Once again, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. So, Colossians 2, 6 to 15. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Hey? I'm going to read that again. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition and musings of murmur, following the elementary principles of this world, rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. And in him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ, and he is the head over all rule and authority, over every angelic and earthly power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but by the spiritual circumcision of Christ, in the stripping off of the body of flesh, the sinful carnal nature, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him to a new life. Through your faith in walking in the working of God as displayed when he raised Christ from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, the worldliness, manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us, which were hostile to us, and this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. So I just want to go back to 6 again. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. I mean, think about that, eh? To live a life that leads others away from sin. You know, when you talk to people, when you interact with people, every aspect needs to be an aspect that leads people away from sin. It needs to be an aspect in your life that reflects Christ. To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after him. So are we walking in Christ? If we go to Romans 6, 3 to 4, I'm going to read it so long while you guys are getting there. Amplified version. Or are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk habitually in newness of life, abandoning our old ways. So we're walking in a newness of life. Those who are baptized into him remain in him forever and benefits from his experiences, including his death and his resurrection. And as Paul says, we walk in a newness of life. Now, how many of us take that serious? To walk in that newness. To walk in Christ. How many of us get on our knees every day before him? In our quiet time. To get on our knees before him and say, Lord, you're in control. You have every aspect of my life. How many of us do that?
You know, it's the quiet time that sets you apart from everybody else. Because it's the quiet time that nobody sees. But that's the time that builds in you. It's not what people see. It's not when you're standing here and you're speaking to people. It's the quiet time. It's what you do in your time alone. Are you walking in Christ when you are alone? Are you walking in Christ when nobody's watching? So, I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 to 4, Amplified Version, putting on the new self. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the things of the world? Are we focusing on problems we have at work? Are we focusing on problems with finances? Are we focusing on the people at work that cause issues for us? Are we focusing on those people that backstab us? Turn around and love that person. You know what? Turn around and hand those things to God. Turn around and say, Lord Jesus, I put you as center. I know, Lord, that when I focus on you, you take care of the rest. Why are we trying to take care of those things instead of taking care of the fact that we need to put Christ as center of our lives? When we start to put Christ as center of our lives, don't you think that he'll look after those things for us? But we've got too much of a habit to take control of things that go wrong. Too much of a habit to try and fix things that we know we can fix, but are we fixing them correctly? Now, is that what God said you need to do? Have you asked God, should I do that? Have you asked Jesus, should I do those things? Should I fix that? Should I go here? What if that's supposed to stay broken? What if you're supposed to leave it alone? What happens if somebody else is supposed to come along and fix it? God has a plan and purpose for our lives, and we need to step into that. We need to walk in that pattern that Christ has put before us. He is the pattern that we need to follow. We are in union with Christ. We have spiritually entered his death and resurrection at the moment of our conversion. And we are now alive in Christ so as to understand spiritual truths, realities, blessings, and the will of God. Those are the glorious privileges and riches of the heavenly kingdom. And it is at our disposal, all at our disposal. Are we using it? Can we honestly say that we, yes, I'm using it? I want to be able to say that, you know what? People can see Christ through me. I want people to say that, you know what? I can see Christ's image in your life. Because I don't want to stand one day before him and he says to me, but nobody could see you through me, see me through you. Do you want to stand before him one day and ask for recognition from him, or are you going to stand here today and ask for recognition from man? Are you looking for that where man says to you, well done? What value is that? What value do you get out of the fact that some person comes to you and says to you, well done, other than looking towards Christ so that one day Christ can say to you, well done? We need to look for recognition through Christ, not through man. If we read Colossians 2, verse 3, Amplified, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge regarding the word and purposes of God. You know what? When we make Christ that pattern, when we walk in that pattern, when we walk in Christ, when Christ is center, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge regarding the word and the purposes of God will be made known to us. He opens those things to us. He shows us those things in the word. We need to pay attention to that because we need to pay attention to Christ. You know what, when you quiet your mind, I mean, in the time that I've been preparing for this, it's been one of the hardest things that I've had to deal with because Satan goes like this the whole time, putting those things in your head so that you can't be still and listen to what God is saying. Because the whole time you've got this like white noise in your head of things that, oh, don't forget to do this, oh, don't forget to do that. But what is that? It's focusing on a program here and a thing there and busyness there. Instead of focusing on what God wants for me, what God wanted me to say here today. And we let that happen to ourselves every day. If we have to take control of those things and take authority over those things and let Christ be center of our lives, every day we'll attract people to us because they can see Christ in us. If we go to Colossians 3, 16 to 17, Amplified. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In everything, in dependence on Him. We depend on ourselves every day. Are we depending on Him? Are we leaning on Him? Are we walking in Him? Are we making sure that we are that pattern of Christ? Are we making sure that that pattern of Christ, everybody else around us can see? So, I've got quite a few verses yet to go through and I don't want to take too long. Colossians 4, 5 to 6, Amplified again. Conduct yourselves with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, speaking about non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. So I'm just going to stop there quickly. How often do we make every opportunity count? I mean, listen to what it's saying here. Treating it as something precious. So that opportunity is something precious. And we turn a blind eye to it. Oh, we're too busy. Ah, oh, there's too many things going on in my head. How often do we not need to take that step and let Christ work through us? It says, yeah, it's something precious to be able to do that. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. Do we take every opportunity or make the most of every opportunity to make disciples, to lead people to Christ? Are we gracious in our speech and how we speak to people? Do we speak what is spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimenting, gentle, truthful, loving, thoughtful? Now, we all know what salt does. And as it says, they're seasoned with salt. So, when we speak to people, is what we say a blessing to others? And is it a purifying influence? Or is what we're saying just a noise? Just a white noise. that doesn't have any impact, that doesn't do anything, that's just there? Or is what we're saying hurtful? Does it have a negative impact on that person? So are we on the positive side of this? Are we in the middle where we're just throwing what we say away? Or are we on the negative side of it where we're hurting people in our speech? You know what? When Christ spoke to people, he spoke to them with love, with a purifying influence. Are we following that pattern when we speak to people? So, just to recap on a few points. Is it the person of Christ in our lives that attracts others? Or are we trying to attract those people with our activities? Christ has given us the pattern and the power to grow spiritually. So he is the pattern that we need to follow. We are to be a reflection of Christ so that we can reveal Christ to others. If we read Matthew 28:19, Amplified Version, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So what does it say? Make disciples. Is Christ centered enough in our life? Is Christ patterned enough in our lives that we can go out there and make disciples? That Christ can see, or that people can see Christ in us? That we can reveal Christ to them? What are we revealing to them? Honestly, what are we revealing to them when we speak to them? To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after him. Are we taking every opportunity to bring people to Christ? Matthew 9:37, Amplified. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the workers are few.'" There's a lot of workers here. Are all of us acting on that? In our workplace, anywhere we go, are we acting on those things? And finally, are we a blessing to others? A purifying influence in their lives? Are we following Christ with the intent to become like him? Or are we following Christ to try and gain something? You know what? Often we see that people do things because they can benefit out of it. And that shouldn't be what's in you. It should be a fact that we follow Christ to become like him. And then, just to finish off, are our lives patterned after Christ? Are we getting on our knees and taking every opportunity to pattern ourselves after Christ? Are we getting on our knees to take every opportunity to put him first in our lives? Are we getting on our knees to take every opportunity to build a relationship with him? Are we making sure that when we take that step and when we walk, that we're walking in his fullness, that we're walking in him, that people can see Christ through us, that we are able to bring Christ to people through us? Are we doing that? Amen. Thank you.